Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Please be seated. Dr. Rast, esteemed faculty, brothers on the Council of Presidents, family members and who are gathered here with friends to watch their loved one receive a call, and even the congregations who are watching across the nation through the internet. May God's grace and peace be unto you in rich abundance. Amen. Wow, we're here. Just a few more minutes and you'll find out where you are going. The anticipation is growing among you. There's a lot of thoughts about what is about to happen for you and your family as you receive your first call into the holy ministry. You're filled with all sorts of emotions and perhaps anxiety. It's hard to focus your attention, but as always, the Lord Jesus is here for you and for us. And he helps us focus as he did with his first disciples in the upper room. Those who were gathered that Easter evening behind locked doors, they were also anxious and apprehensive, but perhaps for a different reason. Jesus was crucified on Friday. Would they be next to be crucified? Reports were coming in all day long that Jesus was alive. He had appeared to the women. Peter and John had run to the tomb, and Peter entered it and found the grave cloths lying there, but no Jesus. And they went back in bewilderment. If Jesus was alive, what would he say to them as they were locked behind doors full of fear? You may recall that as they left the Passover meal Maundy Thursday, as they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, they had each pledged their undying loyalty to Jesus. And yet they failed, and they failed miserably. And then in the upper room, Jesus appears. He directly addresses their fears. He tells his disciples, "Peace be with you." Peace. God's peace. The wholeness of body, soul, and spirit. The assurance that all is forgiven. New life is theirs. Well, their shock gave way to joy as the Lord showed them his hands and his side and gave convincing proofs that he was truly alive and not a mere ghost. And Jesus speaks to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Not only are they forgiven, it becomes for them a sort of call night, because Jesus, the resurrected one, the crucified, the living Lord, is going back to his disciples, and he is sending them out with the Holy Spirit to continue to speak about him and his ministry in the world that our Lord will soon be ascending back into heaven. Oh, they were anxious, but yet Jesus speaks words of peace and calmness to them. He also gives them the Holy Spirit. And this is one of those texts where you see the Trinity at work for our salvation. The Father had sent Jesus into the world, and he completed his work, and the Father raised him from the dead. And now Jesus sends out the apostles, and he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit. And he focuses their attention upon a very specific mission. They are his representatives to bring forgiveness of sins and the retaining of sins to the church. This is a job they do not dare to do in their own power. Luke tells us that they were to go out and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. And this is the mission of the church until the very last day. Jesus is speaking to them even as he will soon be speaking through them for the life of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ continues to speak to us, and soon he will speak through our candidates in their first call in the holy ministry. Now the apostles in the upper room, they received their commission immediately, directly from Jesus Christ. You have received and will receive your call immediately through the agency of the church and its board of assignments. Make no mistake though, it is a call from God for your field of service. The Holy Spirit is pleased to work through this process that is centered in the Word of God and prayer, and he's working through it for you and for the people that you serve. Wow, we have a living Lord who was crucified and now risen from the dead, who is willing to work through people like you and me to bring his word to the nations. God continues to speak. All scripture is God-breathed. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for training in righteousness, for correction. And the Lord, he has made for us the forgiveness of sins to be the power behind the work that we are given to do. This comes to the heart of the Christian faith. In the small called articles, Luther thought he was dying when he was writing these articles, and he gave a great confession of faith that beautifully summarizes the chief article of the Christian faith for us. Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. And he alone is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Furthermore, all have sinned, and they are now justified without merit by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus by his blood. These words are what the church lives by. We have a God who has paid our debt completely. And there is no greater comfort that we can offer a fellow sinner than to share with them that Jesus Christ, the living one, forgives them all their sins, and they are free from guilt. What a blessing. You think about the two brothers in the Old Testament, Jacob and Esau, and how Jacob stole the birthright and Esau threatened to kill his brother, and Jacob had to leave for some 20 years. And now as they're coming back, Jacob is really concerned. What will happen when Esau meets up with him? And they finally get together, and Esau is no longer angry with Jacob. And Jacob says, seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. That's what being forgiven is like. God himself is speaking through his people, through you, his pastors, to bring the good news of forgiveness to life for the people you are called to serve. Your candidates for the holy ministry, hold on to these words. Remember that Jesus speaks them to you first before you speak them to others. Now, you may have a very high view of the ministry this night, looking forward to going to that congregation and doing your best job and being the best pastor they've ever had. Let me disavow you of one thing tonight. Like me, you are all sinners, and you will sin even without intending to do so. You will sin by your actions. You will sin in thought, word, and deed. And perhaps the sins that sting the most when they are revealed are those sins of omission, the things that we have failed to do. Fortunately, pastors have a Savior too. His name is Jesus Christ. And when your sins are before you, don't try to make excuses. Don't run. confess them. In fact, when you have sinned against your people, learn to say these words: I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. See, what you're doing is living out the Christian faith, and you are also modeling for your congregation and its people how we should practice this gift of forgiveness one with another. God will bless. He will continue to strengthen you and sustain you. A word about the binding key. That is also a gift from God. Don't use it for a personal grievance against one of your members. That's a misuse of it. But know for certain that the binding key is also a gift from God to be used for a person who is sinning and refuses to acknowledge that sin. And the binding key serves as notice to them that unless they repent, they remain in their sin and outside the faith. At your installation, you will officially become a member of the Ministerium of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. You will have circuits and district conferences to attend. Your brothers in those circuits and districts need you as much as you need them for the mutual conversation of the saints. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, the proverb says. The ministry is really lonely enough. The temptation to miss conferences should be avoided. Men who prefer to go it alone may find themselves isolated and alienated from their nearest colleagues in ministry. But the worst danger is when you are alone and prefer it that way, you become more vulnerable to the roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We are here to be with you as fellow brothers in Christ, that you may succeed in your ministry and bring the good news of Jesus to your people and community and the world. Seek out a father confessor, ideally a veteran pastor, who is able to help you mature in the faith through regular confession and absolution. Jesus has made the forgiveness of sins the centerpiece of the Christian faith. It's one teaching that makes Christianity distinctive from all other religions. Help your people rejoice in this gift, the gift of repentance and forgiveness of sins. This is the strength of the Lutheran Church. Luther says it very well in the Large Catechism. Therefore, everything in this Christian community is so ordered that everyone may daily obtain full forgiveness of sins through the word and signs appointed to comfort and encourage our consciences as long as we live on earth. Although we have sin, the Holy Spirit sees to it that it does not harm us because we are part of this Christian community. Here there is full forgiveness of sins, both in that God forgives us and that we forgive, bear with, and aid one another. As you are sent to your field of service, take this practice with you. For blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Blessed are the people where this is true. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That always sounds good. Especially to y'all. First, let me thank you President Schar for the words of encouragement and wisdom as these men prepare to go out into the harvest field. Some of these men do not know that we are classmates. None of them know that you received your first call to my home congregation. And 1 year later, you ordained me into the office of the public ministry. That knowledge would certainly have colored the way they listened to your message. What color? I'm not so certain. This year, as we gather together for this very important service, perhaps your minds are on some other big events that are taking place. The NFL draft, Thursday. Of course, it's also tomorrow's the opening day of turkey season in Indiana. And some of you are no doubt pondering the similarities. Well, let me help you. There are none. The Holy Spirit is not sending a running back to the Kansas City Chiefs. If only he were. Now, the world may find the process similar, but the church sees with different eyes and acts with different deeds and with a different focus. As we carry out this important tradition of the church, it is with eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and with hands committed to carrying out this work with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. True, there is indeed occasionally some worldly angst and drama, yet the task is undertaken with great joy because it is the work of the church, guided by the Lord of the church. God guides this task by using various people and institutions to carry it out. Placement directors, congregations, pastors, district presidents, and their staffs, our synod, all working together. And all of these working together slowly but surely fit all the pieces together. And there is great joy in this. And great joy in this message. All eligible MDiv and alternate route candidates from both seminaries are receiving a call. On this end, I would like to express my thanks, my gratitude to Dr. Gary Zeroth, and especially to my top-notch special forces, also known as Nancy Raber and Marcia Zimmerman. Deepest thanks to all of them. Also, big thanks to Robin Armbrust at the Synodical Office and to my counterpart at Concordia Seminary St. Louis, Wally Becker. Been a joy working together for the sake of the Lord's Church. This year, there are 39 MDiv and 4 alternate route pastors, our alternate route la bishimba, huh? That was Hebrew. That's 39 MDiv, 4 alternate route candidates from our seminary, 47 MDiv, 3 alternate route, 8 SMP, and 3 EIIT candidates from our sister seminary in St. Louis, along with 10 colloquy candidates. All of these add up to 116. There are 177 calls available at this time. We currently have 61 unfilled, unused calls. For those of you who keep track of such things, you will note that the gap between the number of candidates and the number of the available calls has widened even more this year. So please include in your prayers those congregations not receiving a candidate at this time. Would the candidates please present themselves? Bradley D. Akey, Associate Pastor, Zion Lutheran Church, Seymour, Indiana, Indiana District. Philip J. Allman, Associate Pastor, Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church, Midland, Texas, Texas District. Adam P. E. Barkley, Pastor, Luther Memorial Lutheran Church, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, South Wisconsin District. Kevin P. Belter, Pastor, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Salt Lake City, Utah, Rocky Mountain District. Mark J. Blakeman, Pastor, Zion Lutheran Church, Fairmont, Oklahoma, Oklahoma District. Robert Q. Brueggemann, Pastor, Martin Luther Chapel, Pensacon, New Jersey, English District. David D. Casely Motley, Pastor, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Preston, Maryland, Southeastern District. Renee G. Castellero, Assistant Pastor, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Sheridan, Wyoming, Wyoming District. Christopher R. Clark, Associate Pastor, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Coleman, Alabama, Southern District. Kurt R. Cochran, Pastor, Faith Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Tucson, Arizona, English District. Thomas J. Cowell, pastor, St. John's Lutheran Church, Burt, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran Church, Algona, Iowa, Iowa District West. St. John's Lutheran Church was my first call from the seminary. Gonna be great. George N. Fields, Associate Pastor, Christ Lutheran Church, Jackson, Mississippi, Southern District. Alexander Christian Garber IV. Good name. Associate Pastor, St. Peter's Evangelical Lutheran Church, East Point, Michigan, Michigan District. James M. Grady, Assistant Pastor, Advent Evangelical Lutheran Church, Zionsville, Indiana, English District. Winston P. A. Greaser, Pastor, Abiding Faith Lutheran Church, Florence, Kentucky, Eastern District. Willie T. Grills, La Iglesia Evangelica Luterana Amigos en Cristo. Friends in Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church, Pastor, Denison, Iowa, Iowa District West. Stephen M. Hackman, Pastor, Shorehaven Lutheran Church, Euclid, Ohio, Ohio District. Brian R. Heller, Pastor, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Walnut, Illinois, Northern Illinois District. Jacob R. Herkamp, Pastor, St. Peter's Evangelical Lutheran Church, LaGrange, Missouri, Missouri District. Justin M. Hildebrand, Pastor, St. John Lutheran Church, McCook, Ash Creek, Nebraska, Nebraska District. Edward B. Holshue III, pastor, Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, Alamo, Texas, Texas District. Santiago E. Keinbaum, in absentia, assistant pastor, Christ Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Nebraska, Nebraska District. Matthew C. Caterba, pastor, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Wymore, Nebraska, Zion Lutheran Church, Janson, Nebraska, Nebraska District. Kelly D. Krieg, assistant pastor, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Houston, Texas, Texas District. Texans are odd. Steve T. Law, pastor, Wollaston Lutheran Church, Quincy, Massachusetts, New England District. Gabriel J. Martin, pastor, Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, Tawas City, Michigan, Michigan District. Nicholas D. Martinez, pastor, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Great Bend, Kansas, Grace Lutheran Church, Larned, Kansas, Kansas District. Justin D. Massey, associate pastor, St. John Lutheran Church, Chester, Illinois, Southern Illinois District. Kyle A. McBee, associate pastor, Zion Lutheran Church, Humboldt, Iowa, Iowa District West. Thomas T. Presley, missionary at large, church planter, the Mid-South District LCMS, Jonesboro, Arkansas, the Mid-South District. Dean G. Rager. Nikolai Lutheran Church, Pastor Nikolai Lutheran Church, Canby, Minnesota, Zion Lutheran Church, Boyd, Minnesota, Minnesota North District. Eric M. Ruzinski, Pastor, Concordia Lutheran Church, Jackson, Tennessee, Mid-South District. Scott A. Salo, Pastor, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Hannibal, West Ely, Missouri, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Monroe City, Missouri, Missouri District. Ryan B. Schneider, Pastor, Grace Lutheran Church, Vine Grove, Kentucky, English District. Aaron D. Spratt, Pastor, Faith Lutheran Church, Juneau, Alaska, and Alaska Mission for Christ, Northwest District. It's already got that beard. Zachary M. Voss, Pastor, St. John Lutheran Church, Homestead, Iowa, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Wellman, Iowa, Iowa District East. David J. Walsh, Pastor, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Managua, Minnesota, Christ Lutheran Church, Wolf Lake, Minnesota, Minnesota North District. David M. Wyrock, Pastor, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Sydney, Ohio, Ohio District. Timothy J. Wilcox, Pastor, Zion Lutheran Church, Carlinville, Illinois, Southern Illinois District.
Spoiler.
Marcus A. Williams, Pastor, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Havre, Montana, Zion Lutheran Church, Chinook, Montana, Montana District. Yes, there is fly fishing there, Marcus. Trenton N. Wolberg, Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, pastor, Onaway, Michigan, Michigan District. Aaron E. Yeager, pastor, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Lynchburg, Virginia, Southeastern District. I'm all out. Christopher J. Yeager, Associate Pastor, Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church, Stevensville, Michigan, Michigan District.